Congratulations! You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
We're back here in San Francisco, California.
We're in the Mission District.
We're talking about art. Art and culture. That's what we do here on this podcast. Okay, we got a couple announcements, Maysoon. Your favorite. First off, if anybody wants to know, Dynasty Handbag did at one point meet with Gina Davis. And Gina Davis is a member of Mensa. And I just want you to know that.
How do you become a member of Mensa, Kate?
I think you have to do a, like, Mensa-approved IQ test, and you have to score over 140. Sarah Tebow.
Oh, yeah, she's been doing some interesting work over there in Iceland.
So, in case you want to play my message on your podcast, it's a little embarrassing, so don't feel pressured. Okay, so
I love
here it.
It
is.
Hello, congratulations, Pine Tree. This is Sarah. I wanted to thank you for the shout-out last week, and also send a formal invite to anyone who's looking to help get out the vote for the next election in 2020. As you said, I'm probably going to be in Minnesota starting late summer, early fall. And Minnesota is important both for the federal and the state elections. Dean Phillips, who I helped get out the vote for in 2018, is up for re-election. And apparently the Republicans are throwing millions of dollars into a campaign against him because he holds a really crucial seat. So there's a lot of ways you can help. You can do phone banking for the state. You can also be there doing Get Out the Vote and other things. So let me know. I'm really excited. And go, congratulations, Pine Tree. Bye.
Go Sarah Tebow.
Go Sarah, I love that.
That's awesome. That's also the same time that I'm going to be out in the upper Midwest.
Yeah.
So people, we're doing, let's caravan.
I feel like we're going to have some, like, correspondence, like, checkbacks for the podcast.
Oh, for sure. So people, get in there. If you want to get hooked up with Sarah Tebow, give us a call, 419-351-6606. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast, or you can email us, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. You also can leave comments on our website. Nobody does unless they're trying to sell us Viagra.
Or unless they're mad at us for some podcast debacle.
Yeah, we get a lot of angry. Sarah Klein emailed in and she said, I want to send you a note that they are presenting some new stuff at Peephole Cinema.
Oh, that's right in my neighborhood.
Yes. Curated by Manoush Zamora-Dinia.
Oh.
Okay, so what's happening? It's called Hafra. 6 videos showcasing artists who live and work in Iran. Work by Tara Gudarzi, Razia Gudarzi, Atefa Kass, Nushin Nafisi.
You're doing a great job, Kate.
Sitara Hosseini and Majid Zayi.
Okay.
The Peephole Cinema in San Francisco is proud to present Hafra, a collection of videos showcasing Iranian artists who live and work in the cities of Tehran, Isfahan, Tabriz, and Karamabad. The title of this show is a Persian word that translates to hole or cavity and also applies to the word for eye socket.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that cool? It's a fitting title for works that respond to the Peephole Cinema's unique space. Videos that loop inside a hole in a wall located street side on a building in the Mission District. Is it on Orange Street?
It's on Orange Alley.
Orange Alley, 280 Orange Alley. And you can just go anytime, right? Day or night, whenever you want.
I live on Orange Alley. I live on Valencia and Orange Alley.
Maysoon.
It's Orange Alley and 26th Street. That's where the Peephole Cinema is.
But Maysoon, don't tell people where you live.
Oh.
For Christ's sake.
Sorry, just edit that out.
Okay. That Truth Dare 2020 show is up over there at Mercury 20 Gallery.
Yeah.
Did I tell the people when the Peephole thing goes up?
No.
And that will be up... Okay, and the Peephole Cinema is going to be showing that December 3rd to January 18th.
Oh, so it's up right now.
Peephole people, I'll do a peephole for you. Hit me up. UC Santa Cruz Institute of the Arts and Sciences and Mary Porter Sesnin Gallery presents Carlos Mota, We the Enemy, West Coast premier solo exhibition by the internationally acclaimed artist. Okay? And that is January 23rd to March 14th. And it also is accompanied by a symposium called Bodies at the Borders, co-organized by Carlos Mota and Rachel Nelson, which is going to be January 24th and 25th at UC Santa Cruz and SF MoMA. You got it? It's at Mary Porter Sesnin Art Gallery, which is located, it's got an address, but where would that be? Ooh, and Jennifer Gonzalez is going to be part of it because she's written a bunch about Carlos Mota.
Remember when we saw her live?
Yeah.
Live at Mills.
That was wild. I love her still.
She was great.
Okay, Maysoon, there's no address for this place, so people, good luck finding it. Okay, Maysoon, what you got?
I was just thinking about, are there like, this is like holiday season, right?
Here we go again.
Oh, you hate it.
Go ahead. Maysoon, what are you doing for these holidays? Your partner, who's also your husband, yes, is of the Jewish tradition.
He is 0% religious and 0% celebrating
but
holidays.
100% amazing at making latkes.
Yeah.
So what are you guys going to do, some Hanukkah activities? Or
usually, I think in the past, usually his mom has come up and we've done like a little Hanukkah get together with the family, where like just for one night we'll go to dinner or something. And I'm not sure if that's happening this year because the kids are no longer babies. Jimbo does make a good latke, and that is a Hanukkah
really
tradition.
Really good.
I was just in New York, but I don't think that's...
Did you see any art?
Yeah, we saw some art.
What'd you see?
We went to some Chelsea galleries, you know, in Chelsea. I can't remember the name of this one gallery, but the artist who was showing was this artist who I first saw in LA called Natalie Gerberg. Do you know her?
Yeah.
Video
she does
animation.
The stop motion.
She's so weird. So she had three installations. Well, first I saw her in LA at the Hammer. And this is when she was first starting out, or for one of her early shows in the States. And she had an awesome installation in like their side kind of new works, young artist kind of room, which I don't know if they still have. This is ages ago. And then she had a big show at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts.
I remember, that show. One? I went to it.
Where she had all of her little creatures like in the space as well, which I love that she does that. To me, as someone who doesn't make stuff, it's great to see
that
process.
They're like puppets. Like, she does stop motion animation with clay and feathers and all this stuff. And then she had like made puppets, which were like, you know, Muppet size, like pretty big. And like some of them were like birds that were like freestanding and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're all like very stylized and cartoony.
Yeah, very cartoony.
But they're not creepy. They're kind of handmade and shitty.
Yeah, like you can see the clay, like her fingerprints in the clay. It's like, it's all kind of like, not gory, but just like.
But it's not like a Kenny Scharf, like perfect, smooth cartoon.
Right. It's very rough, I would say, looking. But so her work is, there were three rooms that had both, that had videos and installation elements in them. And her installations are, I would say, like much more pared down than I've seen before, which I actually like when they're really kind of wild installations in video. So I was curious to know. I hadn't thought about her in a long time, and I was curious to know like if that's the direction she's going in, or is it because she was like showing in a very commercial gallery in Chelsea that was just sort of like what was more manageable for that space or more sellable or who knows what. But I kind of it was funny because I had a really strong like visceral reaction to her work this time, which I have in the past, but her work has a tendency to be so violent. Like sexually violent in some ways, where like things like there's like two figures like struggling and like there's like clothing being ripped off the clearly female figure and like weird penetration type things from like, I don't know, like octopus limbs or what. It's just like, it's just fucking intense. Yeah. And I was just not, and it always has been dark in that way, but this felt a little bit more extreme from my perspective, and I don't know if it's
Did you have a child with you?
No.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't with the 12-year-old.
Oh, okay.
13-year-old. So I just kind of was like, I was super excited to see that she had to show up. I was like, oh my God, I was with Jimbo and then our friend Steven and his wife Josefina, and I pulled them all in, and they, you know, these are not people who go see art or weird art, I would say.
Yeah.
Very often. And they were all like super intrigued, which is always like a cool like pat on my shoulder. Be like, cool, I was actually able to show them something that was interesting to them and not just like, I don't get it, I can't deal, get me the fuck out of here. Yeah. You know? So it's always an interesting experience, I think, to see her work. But for me, in the moment, and maybe just sort of like our moment in the world, it was just intense. And I was sort of like, I'm going to just step out now. But I still love her work and like highly recommend it to anyone who has a chance to see it. It's really, I think, she's a really interesting artist. Well, another thing we saw was a really long line in New York, a very, very long line trying to go into, I want to say it was David's Werner, but I could be wrong, gallery where Yayoi Kusama's Infinity Room is. There was a fucking line.
We got to just make our own Infinity Room.
I mean, like down the street, down the next street, around the next corner, down the next street. Like literally like four blocks of line.
Fucking Marina Abramovich.
I just don't understand people who want to wait in a line like that. I literally don't understand.
Just get one of those bathroom mirrors that opens.
Get a bunch of mirrors.
That are like three sections that open.
Build yourself a little box where your head can just go inside. Mirrors.
Yeah.
A few lights.
Get a kaleidoscope.
I mean, sure, it's cool, but it's like,
no,
are you going
to
wait in line?
We're not trying to disrespect Yayoi Kusama.
Yeah, let's not.
God bless her.
Yeah, she's fucking rad. But she probably doesn't want people waiting in line. I don't know. I just can't imagine. Ugh, it's so annoying to me.
Go to Pittsburgh, guys. Go to the Mattress Factory. They have two different ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's not got the water and the light and that, but
yeah,
they're good. They're fine.
We went to the new MoMA. The new remodel.
How's
MoMA.
That like?
And I have to say, I was like, we've got to go to the new MoMA. It's been remodeled. I want to see it. And I was expecting it to be something dramatic, like what happened with SF MoMA, let's say, where it's like a whole different building slapped on. And it was, I would say, basically seamless. Like I couldn't see it. And I actually forgot that I was even supposed to be looking for it, to be honest. And then I ran into someone, an artist named Ace, who used to be out here, who now lives in New York, was doing education programs at MoMA. And we were talking with them. And I was like, Ace, so where is this new remodel? I have to say, I really can't even identify it. And they were like, oh, well, basically, it's just the galleries have extended out. So they're just larger. And the only way you can see it, or the where it's noticeable, is in these like large archways or doorways where you're walking from the old building to the new building, where it's like painted gray or blue. So you can just, you're like, oh, now I'm entering into the new space. But it's literally the same architect. I mean, you just can't, there's no difference.
I don't mind that.
No, I don't either. But it just wasn't a big deal though, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like whenever I go to MoMA in New York or any museum in New York, I'm already in like fatigue mode because I've done like 15 million things already that day. That's like, okay, so the gallery is like a few hundred square feet larger. Like, I'm probably not going to notice because I'm already tired, you know? But one thing they were doing, which I thought was like, they've also like done a little bit of a curatorial shift, I guess, where in their collection galleries, they're mixing it up where it's like maybe they'll have a room of like Picasso's or whatever, and then they'll have like a more contemporary artist who's made a piece or is inspired by Picasso like in that room. So it kind of flips it a little bit. So like in this one, in the Picasso room, there was Faith Ringgold did this large scale painting of that's inspired by Guernica, and it's like clearly like a completely different painting style, like so
is
different.
Is it the one with all the like black and white people and like there's blood and there's like the woman in like an orange dress and like that's always up there,
but it's not, I don't think it's usually displayed in that way. It's probably like in the
I've seen that piece at MoMA.
Well so they're just simply hanging the work with a slightly different take.
Okay, well that's cool. What else, Mason? Did you see anybody who's not like one of the top five biggest artists of all time?
Yeah, we saw Bob Dylan.
Come on!
Sorry, no,
we didn't see any. I mean, Natalie Durberg isn't major, huge, but
we tried to go to see the Howardina Pindell exhibition.
Oh, hell yeah! But she's
also closed for the holidays.
That's cool, though. I want to see that.
Me too. What's going on in the art world, Kate? I can't talk about shit going on with me.
Me either. Everything in my life is secret.
We suck so bad.
Well, everything going on in our lives right now is secret.
Kate and I have a lot of secrets going on right now, and it fucking sucks because we can't really talk about it with you guys.
But the thing is,
we're used to being able to.
The thing is, Maysoon, someday we will be able to talk about it.
Someday we'll be able to reflect back on some of these issues.
I do want to give a shout out to all the students and all the teachers that are ending the semester. My semester is just about ended. I have to submit all my final grades and all that kind of stuff, but instruction is over. And this was a long semester. I don't know how it was for anybody else, but I just hope everybody out there and connected to any kind of school, whether it be pre-K, K through 12, post-secondary, whatever you got, just, I appreciate you.
Do you, though?
Maysoon, say you appreciate them.
I appreciate you.
That's right.
It was really nice to be away from the Bay Area for a minute. Do you ever feel that way? You got to go away.
I'm trying to leave for like 4 months in a hot minute.
And then you'll come back and you'll be like, oh.
Absolutely.
It's kind of nice to absence be like, I'm makes getting the heart grow fuck fonder. Out of here.
Maysoon, there's also a coffee shop over there in downtown Oakland. I think on the corner of Harrison and 15th.
Okay.
Called Tamarack, and I've been told that's where all the anarchists are. They have a queer karaoke night 2 nights a month.
Oh, you should go. Are you going
to
go?
Get out that's to that.
Perfect for you.
And I recently convinced my mom that she's an anarchist because we were thinking back on every time she's ever voted for president and how she's hated every president we've had.
Oh.
Except Obama. But like, she didn't
hate Obama. She didn't too, like Clinton. To be honest.
Mm-hmm. She didn't like any of the Bushes, really. She thought that, I don't know what, she told me she thought Jimmy Carter was like a weenie. She used that word.
Interesting.
And I'm like, Mom, you've hated all our presidents. You're an anarchist. And she didn't fight me on it. Maysoon's not paying it. Maysoon's on her phone
I'm
right
trying
now.
To pick up the Wattis info. Cynthia Marcel. Cynthia Marcel presents a new solo commission in which she converts the galleries into a temporary radio station and stage.
Ooh, I like that.
Me too. Inviting the public to participate in live programming in the gallery. We could go do a show there. Alongside activation from the public, the 24-hour station is further punctuated by a series of programs ranging from DJ sets and lectures to comedy and news. This is way up your alley.
Yeah.
So go check that shit out. That sounds awesome. She's Brazilian. Nope, wrong. Zip, zap, zoo. She is Brazilian. Cynthia Marcel. Cool, I don't know anything about her.
Okay, let's get her on the show.
Oh, man.
We're there getting the big names this in
let's
2020.
Let's just go ahead and get her on the show, people.
Okay.
I mean, me. Yeah, I'll call Jean over at Wattis and see if I can get her on.
Jean Garrity.
Shout out to Jean Garrity. We've been recording for 39 minutes.
We got absolutely nothing.
This is going to be a fucking 15-minute show. Do you take
notes? Want to hear some terrible shit that happened this semester?
Always and forever.
Oh, I can't even talk about it.
Oh, God. What a nightmare. What if the whole show is like sentences starting but not finishing because we can't talk about it?
We can't talk about anything.
You know
anything.
What happened to me today at work? Well, I can't tell you about it.
We can't talk about anything.
You want to know what happened to my colleague at work? Well, sorry, I can't talk about it.
Same. Want to hear about this meeting I was just at? Whoops. Can't talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll just talk about... Okay, so this is what happened. So at San Jose State, I was teaching beginning video art, okay?
Okay.
And one of their first assignments they did was like, you know... It was kind of like make a video that kind of has some kind of political message to it. Yikes. It didn't have to be like a big thing. It could just be related to whatever, a small thing.
Okay.
So one student, and I taught them how to like rip found footage off of like the internet.
Can you teach me how to do that?
It's very easy.
I know I need to be taught though.
Basically, this one kid ripped a video that was an American soldier had a GoPro attached to him while he was in the Korangal Valley in Afghanistan, and he was in a firefight. So anyhow, so it's a soldier with a GoPro on and exchanging gunfire, and he gets shot. And so we're seeing this guy shouting for help.
Damn.
And like, and so the, and it basically the video is just this uncut. Just, he just straight shows this. And then at the end, it's like, are we doing enough for our veterans? And whoa. I'm like, this is so tense. And the entire time we're showing it, I'm like, do I need to stop this? Like, do I need to not be letting this be shown? You know, like, where's my responsibility here? But because it's from a GoPro, you're not seeing blood. You're not seeing.
It's not actually, you're not actually seeing the person. I mean,
but it is, like, traumatic. Like, it is hard to watch.
Is that part of maybe because of what you're hearing?
Oh, yeah.
You're hearing the guy, like, screaming.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. And you're kind of, like, not sure what's real and not.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. So, I was like, Jesus Christ. Okay. And we ended up watching it. And so, I'm like, to the student, I'm like, do you know, like, what this is that you've ripped and shown us? And he's like, oh, yeah, I think he's in Iran. And I'm like, he's definitely not in Iran, dude. Like, so, like, I'm pretty sure this is Afghanistan. I looked it up later to find out, like, if the dude lived.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing. Like, are we watching someone die?
Yeah. Oh, no.
And, like, the student didn't even know. And I had to do this whole thing about, like.
Talk about moral compass.
About, like, yeah, exactly. About, like, respect. Like, if you're getting, like, you know, are you respecting where you're getting the footage from? Like, do you know what it is? Are you using it intentionally? Like, blah, blah, blah. Had to have this whole big, okay, and so I'm like, okay.
I feel
and
like then, every teacher has to have that moment, right? I mean, at some point in
class. No, I swear to God, there's classes where you never have to watch death and murder and vomiting and fuckery. And, like, I had lots of classes in college where we didn't see one person get shot. You know what I mean? Like, something I'm doing as a teacher is making horrible things happen in class, and I really need to re-examine my pedagogy.
Oh.
So anyhow, so I'm like, okay, well, like, I think we took a break after that because I was like, let's recharge, reset.
Yeah.
Okay, so then it's time to look at the next student's work, right?
Oh, no.
Sure enough, her fucking video is about mass shootings and gun violence in America. And she somehow, and you can't just, like, get this, like, easily. She got the fucking footage of the Christchurch shooting.
Oh, shit.
With the, also with a fucking GoPro. And, like, that shit, if you remember, was, like, banned from the internet. Like, it kept getting reposted in places, and, like, Facebook, like, had an automatic machine learning shit taking it down. I hope nobody who's listening ever saw it, but, like, I saw chunks of it before this class.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it is just awful. Like, that really is, like, some of the, that's shit that will really fuck you up. And so, like, and I recognized it as soon as I saw it.
And you, like, stopped it.
And it was, like, in a frame in the corner of the video that the student had made. And so I was, like, stop, like, space bar, like,
yeah, you're like,
you know, I'm like, and I asked the student, I'm like, is this the actual footage of the Christchurch shooting? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, this, I actually am gonna have to draw the line here. And I tried to be like, look, I know that your heart's in the right place, but, like, we actually can't, I can't show this in class. Like, even Facebook won't show it, and they won't show anything.
They show
They'll tell people that the elections are on the wrong day. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I'm like, can't do it. I'm sorry. And I think the student was really, like, freaked out that they'd done something wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this isn't going to affect your grade.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but, like, you got to understand, like, the reason the person who made this video put it out was in support of white supremacy. Like, this is propaganda, and even though you're showing it with a critical eye, it also doesn't make sense, because your whole video is about gun violence in America, and this shit was in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't even make sense with your concept.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to, like, show this to the
broadcast
class.
Broadcast this just because.
Yeah. And so that, I don't know. I know there's teachers, like, at SFAI who will be like, I will not censor anything. You know, and they'll let whatever happens happen. But I was just like, this is a no for me, dog.
Did you guys, were you guys able to have a conversation about why, or, like, what were they thinking? Were they thought it was okay to show that, or?
I was pretty ramped up, so I just said all that. I was like, I'm not going to show this. It's not, you haven't done anything wrong, but I think this is why we shouldn't be showing this and watch this and blah, 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 blah. And then I was like, does anybody have a problem with that?
Yeah.
That I'm not going to allow this to be shown. And of course nobody did, but of course nobody ever said anything about anything because they were all just like, that was rough.
That was all in one class, those two?
Yep.
Jesus fucking
Christ. And that was like the first crit of the class.
Whoa. Well, what did this, did the student kind of like push back at all or what?
No, not at all.
They were just like, they were probably just embarrassed.
She came up after at the end of class and was like trying to explain why she made these choices. And I'm like, oh yeah, like I totally understand, but I do think you should think about this. Like when you make work, you should think about where you're getting things and why these particular things.
Well, and like what their intent was when they were made and whether or not.
Yeah, dude. And like, are you just straight up showing propaganda? And then like, you know, and then they also like, I give also written feedback for assignments and, you know, and I wrote all about that when I gave my feedback too.
Yeah.
But I really think that like the student was like, it felt like discouraging to that student or something.
Mm. Do you think they like, were they able to pull back up and kind of make other work?
Oh yeah, they made, you know, they did all the assignments.
Man, that sounds rough. I don't quite have those sorts of issues to deal with. But that's kind of, I mean, to some degree, it's awesome in some way that you get to be the person who helps students think about what they're making and why they're making it, like in a real way, not, you know what I mean? Like that you're the teacher that's sort of catching them at this moment and being like, hey.
Yeah, I think, though, whenever I have these issues, I'm always like, I really wish that there was something I did beforehand that I had talked about, like, just being more conscientious about, like, the ethics of using found footage and things and, like, how we treat the people in these videos and, you know, I don't know, stuff like that. But it's also, like, hard to... You don't want to be prescriptive to say, like, only these certain things are okay to show and not. And, like, and it's, you never can foresee what the students are going to do that is going to bring up this whole can of worms.
Right. Like, is there any mass shooting that's okay to show? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Probably not. Not unless it's, like, a movie reenactment. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean... This one in particular, it's like, why has the person who made the video, why did they make it? And this one, he made it to inspire other people to do the same thing. And so it's like, that's, I don't think it's okay, even in some kind of context where we're like putting a frame around it or recontextualizing it. Like, I don't think that's ever an okay thing. And because like, I'm complicit, I'm helping show it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't feel good. Showing it. So, I mean, that's a pretty easy barometer.
Yeah.
Teaching is hard.
I believe it.
Nothing but respect to all the teachers out there. Especially I really feel for high school teachers.
Oh, yeah.
My brother's a high school teacher. Infinity shout out to him.
They're dealing with all the shit.
Really? Okay, let's end on a lighter note.
We always do this. Are you going to see Cats the Musical? I know this is not Bay Area arts and culture.
Wait, you mean the movie?
The movie musical.
Okay.
Why is everyone freaking out about it?
Okay, Mason, we can talk about the Cats movie for 1 minute. Go ahead.
I want to see it. I saw the musical when I was 13 years old with my best friend in Chicago, and I loved it. And I know they look weird. That's because they're humans dressed up as cats. Like, I just don't think that's a big fucking deal. Mason,
they're not just dressed up. Have you seen the trailer?
Yeah.
They're not just dressed up as cats. They're, like, computer augmented to have, like, freaky faces on.
Are they? Isn't that just makeup?
No, dude. They are CGI.
I can't.
How do you not tell that?
I can't tell.
They look insane.
But makeup can make you look insane.
They have ears that move.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true.
Hello. And their tails?
Cats have tails.
Crazy all over the place. It looks crazy.
It doesn't bother me.
It looks
I don't
insane.
Know why. I really don't mind at all. Some people are really freaking out about it. Is our minute up?
You got 8 seconds.
Anyhow, you want to go see Cats with me?
Hell yeah.
Okay, cool. Done.
Okay. But I want you to know that it's It looks really weird.
Is that what everyone's talking about when they're like, it's fucked up. It's so weird.
Yeah. Are you...
Is there a reason
what
to be
are
offended?
You seeing?
Are you offended by it?
I'm not offended, but I'm just like, how do you not see how weird it is?
Because to me, I can see that it's Judi Dench. Like, I can see that there is a human behind the cat, right?
But it's not like the musical where it's just like, throw on some fuzzy leg warmers and you know what I mean? Like, it looks like a fucking acid trip.
But the musical was kind of fucking weird, too, is the thing.
Well, the musical doesn't make any fucking sense. It's
I don't
just
remember
like, meet
the storyline at all.
There is none. It's like, meet this cat. Meet Mr. Mistopheles. Here's Rum Tum Tugger. Here's so-and-so.
Oh, wow.
And it's not like a story. It's like, we're going to meet every cat.
Every cat has a different...
the most universal, like, cosmic truth that Lord Andrew Lloyd Webber revealed to us.
In this,
but he was as a conduit for E.E. Cummings or T.S. Eliot,
probably T.S. Eliot,
whoever wrote the poem that it's based on, the poems.
Oh, yeah,
is that every single cat in the world is a completely unique individual?
Oh,
which isn't that true, Maysoon?
What's wrong with that?
I'm saying there's nothing wrong with it. But Maysoon, as someone who has two cats that are almost indistinguishable.
Visually, yes. They are very different animals.
Exactly.
Yep, I agree. All God's creatures are individuals,
Maysoon,
Kate.
I'm making some really important points here and you don't even give a shit. But so anyhow,
I care.
There's no story to it. It's just like, here's every cat. They're all totally different because they're unique individuals. And one of them gets to go on a spaceship to heaven.
Awesome.
And guess what? It's the crusty old bitch.
Oh.
Remember?
Judi Dench.
Yeah. Does she play Grizabella, the glamour cat?
I don't know. Anyhow, since we were talking about cats and my secret fantasy that San Francisco would be a cat city, I've lost it. It's fine. It's cool. I'll find it on my way from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between.
This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.